This is an NC Baptist resource. For more, visit ncbaptist.org. Welcome to the NC Baptist Podcast, the podcast designed to engage with ministry leaders around topics that will explore approaches and resources to help us be on mission together. It's because of your generosity that this resource is available. Learn more at ncbaptist.org/give or contact us at communications@ncbaptist.org.
Welcome to the NC Baptist Podcast. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Terry Long, your church health and revitalization strategist. I'm thrilled about getting to sit here and chat with our guest today via Zoom is Ben McCoy, one of the pastors at Faith Youngsville, and Dr. Dave Keene, pastor at Park Baptist in South Carolina. How are you guys doing?
Doing good, Terry. How are you?
I am great.
Great to be here. Thanks so much for the conversation.
Awesome. Well, today we are talking a little bit about struggling and dying churches and helping them find life. It's going to be a serious topic. It's a serious subject. Before we jump into that, though, I want to be a little less serious. Sitting at the table via Zoom today, we have bitter arch rivals. Since it's baseball season, gentlemen, my own Chicago Cubs, off to a decent start. Not really sure what our ace pitcher was thinking about trying to field balls that are not his balls to field. And so he's out for at least a month. Dave, you share that love of the Cubs with me. Tell me your history and love with them.
I grew up outside Chicago, and I watched as a kid 120 WGN, Mark Gray, Sean Dunstan, Andre Dawson. I love the Chicago Cubs, and talk about revitalization, right? Going from the lovable losers to, you know, 2016 World Series champions. I could still cry thinking about that moment on command.
Man, Dr. Keene, my verse for this morning in my Bible app was, we don't fight a battle of flesh and blood, but spiritual warfare, right? And so we know the good side of things, right? We know the Cubs, we know the lovable losers who have somewhat recently won a World Series. It's getting more distant. When we won the World Series, Dr. Keene, I had to wake up my wife. If you remember, it went on to about 1 a.m. Had to wake her up and tell her that I really believed that Jesus was coming back because the Cubs just won the World Series. So I'll just leave that there.
Oh.
On the other side of the coin, you have these other guys that wear red. They're a little bit further away from us.
Right.
I know our other speaker today that he's actually from the area.
Yeah, that's right.
Pastor Ben, why don't you tell us a little bit about your history growing up in a certain Midwestern state and your love for some red baseball team?
I was born in St. Louis, Missouri, and didn't have to wait 100 years to watch a team win a World Series. So we had several, although we might be, it feels like we're on the back heel of the life cycle right now because they have started this season where they ended last season in losing. So we're hoping things will turn around, but we'll see. So lifelong Cardinals fan for sure.
Yeah, you guys are definitely down the life cycle. And today we're going to talk about struggling churches that are further down the life cycle. I know all the men on this call, we all love those churches. We love our Lord. We love Jesus. We love how he takes dead things and brings them back to life. I know that's my testimony. I know it's your testimonies. It's every believer's testimony that we are dead in our sin and he brought us back to life. And he has a heart for these churches as well. We're not talking about just the churches that are on a plateau or slow decline. Today we're talking about the churches that are further down the life cycle. We believe that there's somewhere around 45% of our churches in NC Baptist that are further down the life cycle that they need more than just coaching. They're going to need a stronger church to come alongside of them, to partner with them on something like a fostering or replant. So as we jump into those churches today, Dave, will let you kick us off. Tell us just how God's captured your heart in his word. Obviously, you're involved. Your church is involved with helping struggling churches. How do you see in his word, just this call to get involved in helping struggling, dying churches?
Yeah, well, I think that when you look at the scriptures, we know that God is all about his glory, and God wants his gospel to extend to the ends of the earth. So to be about recovering struggling churches, so the gospel would be more clearly and more beautifully displayed to the watching world is really what every Christian should be about. You know, we want to be transformed others into the image of the Lord Jesus so his glory would be had over all the earth. When you read the entire New Testament, so much of it, Jesus, especially in the Gospels, is about the kingdom. And then when Acts begins, it's really all about the church, right? The church is God's plan to reach the nation. So a strong, healthy, vibrant church displays the manifold wisdom of God to the watching world. We see that from Ephesians chapter 3. I can think of a couple places that I encourage my heart to lead our church to be about helping and strengthening other churches. I think you see this in Acts 11 when no-name Christians started the church in Antioch, right? From the persecution from Stephen, they get all the way to Antioch. They started a church. The church in Jerusalem heard about it. So what do? They sent one of their best, Barnabas, to go strengthen that church, find out what was going on. And then Barnabas went and got Saul, and Saul, now Paul, came, and they spent a year and a half just strengthening and encouraging the church. And then when the church in Jerusalem was struggling, what did the church in Antioch do? They went back and sent an offering to the church in Jerusalem. So there's this dependency upon one another. In Paul's missionary journeys, we can call Paul's missionary journeys, he went to plant churches. But in many ways, his missionary journeys were to encourage and strengthen churches he had already planted that may have been struggling. So maybe in Acts 14, verse 21, it says, when they had preached the gospel to that city and made disciples, they returned to Lystra, to Iconium, and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations you must enter the kingdom of God. And then he appointed elders in every church, in prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. So you see right there, they planted these churches, and then what they did, they went back and encouraged them, and they tried to strengthen them. Even Paul to the church at Philippi, what does he say? He says, listen, I want to go to be with Christ, and it's better by far for me to live as Christ, to die as gain, but it's more necessary that I remain, that I may strengthen you, so that your faith would overflow in the joy of the Lord. So I think if we care about the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, we should care about the church. And we shouldn't just care about our church. We want our church to be strong. We want our church to be healthy. But we have to look beyond just our own walls, and we want all the church to be healthy, because every church that preaches the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ are brothers and sisters, and we want them to be thriving, so that the world, who are far from Christ, could see a pure picture of the gospel, could hear and see the gospel made visible in the local church, and want to worship and serve the Lord Jesus.
Awesome. Thanks, Dave. Yeah, we talk about a lot with NC Baptist. We are autonomous churches, right? We're Baptists, we're autonomous churches, but that doesn't mean we're completely disconnected in the Lord, right? It doesn't mean we're completely separated from the Lord. So, Ben, soon to be Dr. Ben McCroy, hopefully we're getting there. And I know this was a big part of your dissertation as well. Share what you see in scripture from the Lord's heart for the struggling church.
Yeah, that's good, Terry. I mean, one of the things I take a lot of comfort in is that there's no new ideas, right? That God has laid the framework and pattern of some of the very things that we're talking about. And so we see that even in the Old Testament and the cycle of Israel's obedience and faithfulness to sin, to that leads towards, you know, decline in their witness and their ministry, to a prophet being sent and then being renewed, right? So there's this cycle of renewal in the Old Testament that I think God even communicates even then, you know, that, hey, his people are going to be in constant need of renewal. You know, Dave already mentioned, you know, the ministry of Paul and how he is not only starting churches, but also strengthening existing churches, even his epistles. You know, I mean, he's addressing issues that most struggling or plateaued churches are facing, that they and he's addressing them before they become a problem that leads towards death. And then Revelation, you know, the letters to the churches in Revelation, where Jesus addresses a church. He commends them for their faithfulness, identifies issues of need, and then prescribes a plan. This is what must happen if you're gonna be fruitful again. And I'm just encouraged by, you know, Revelation 21 that Jesus says, "Behold, I am making all things new," and that includes a constant renewal and reviving of his church.
Amen. I mean, I love to point out that if you will take what the Lord has for you, right, we have an opportunity to point to him in his glory again. Ben, tell me a little bit, faith, just in y'all's journey. I know this has been something, obviously, and I'll be talking about this later. You guys are hosting the Reconstruct Conference this year on May 7th. I know God's been doing a great work in your and Pastor Stephen's heart, as well as the entire congregation's heart, just growing your heart for revitalization. Tell us a little bit about you guys' journey, where you've come from and where you are now, and just your heart for struggling churches.
Yeah, so our church is almost 34 years old. We were planted in 1990. And we're planted to be a church where anyone and everyone can come and hear the gospel. And by God's grace, we've seen that and have experienced that. And several years ago, probably close to 10 years ago now, we really got a heart of what would it look like to help other churches, either to start new churches or to strengthen existing churches, to have that kind of same gospel DNA. And so that was the trajectory that we headed down. Pastor Stephen, we hired him almost 7 years ago, and he had pastored a rural church in the area and had led it to health and to vibrancy. And so when we were looking for our new lead pastor, we were looking for somebody who had a heart for multiplication, heart for really gospel renewal. And so those two things came together, and is really, you know, we want to send church planters and start new churches. But as we look around our area and see that 90% of the churches around us are plateaued or declining or near death, and we feel uniquely placed to help them. We feel like we're uniquely situated to where we can help them, and we want to care for them. And so we're doing everything we can to walk alongside that.
Awesome. Pastor Dave, same thing. I know you've been doing this for quite a while. Tell me you guys' story, your history a little bit, where you guys have come from and how the Lord has really worked on your hearts for revitalization and even what you're doing now.
Yeah, well, God has been so kind to me to allow me to be part of churches that have experienced revitalization before I became a pastor. And seeing a church that had a bad witness in the community, tearing down that bad witness and building a good witness, and seeing the good that came out of it. I was pastoring in the Carolinas, and as an associate pastor, and we helped move that church that was struggling and discouraged and hopeless and declining to a season of a healthy ministry where the church was growing, and they were, you know, sound doctrine was being preached week in and week out from the pulpit. So for me, I came to Park in 2012 with a simple prayer: God, would you help me find an older, dying Baptist church near downtown Rock Hill? I said that because my family's from here. I knew I was going to have to help care for a family as they aged. And I didn't think I was actually going to be in Rock Hill. I just wanted to be nearby. And our church was 1 foot outside of downtown Rock Hill. Older church was 70 people. Average age was 70. Many churches reached their height in the 60s and then kind of slowly declined after that. Several major exoduses, but you know, a lot of faithful saints that needed a shepherd and needed a pastor. And by God's grace, just came in, preached the word, and having our church that once was questioning whether or not they should close their doors. And now seeing the church that now it's growing, it's filled every week. And now we're trying to send people out to plant revitalized churches in our area. So I think for me, experiencing it before I became a pastor, experiencing it as a pastor, for those who are doing revitalization, it's not always easy. Sometimes it's very hard work. And the Lord did a work in me. I think he broke my heart for people and people who are struggling. Therefore, many churches are just full of people who are struggling. So God's done that to our church. And over the last several years, the increase in the number of churches that we've helped has just grown. I think that the faithful trying to care for other pastors, care for other churches when they had needs, try to either give financially, relationally, be there when they needed to. You know, we've tried to raise up pastors in our own setting to be able to be sent out when the need arises. So because of that, we've had that opportunity in three or four places, even within the last year, where a pastor's, you know, 72, hasn't really thought about the next steps of his ministry for the church. He's like, I'm ready to retire, but who's going to be take over? We send him one of our guys, and the church has gotten to a point where they can only afford a part-time salary. So our church, along with two or three other churches in our area, said, hey, let's all chip in some money to get this guy from part-time to full-time and really give himself to the ministry. And we've seen those churches that were once struggling now have life and excitement and energy. The word's being preached. It tends to keep on happening. So when our church has seen other churches grow, there's a genuine excitement that our church has when other churches are thriving. We don't want to be about the kingdom of Park Baptist Church. We want to be about the kingdom of the Lord Jesus. So if another church down the street is growing and we don't grow as fast because the other church that's 5-10 minutes away is now getting some of the members who would come to our church, we say praise be his name because there's more healthy gospel witnesses around our community.
Ben, jump in on that. Obviously, with faith in y'all's growth over the last several years, I know there's got to be people, you know, internally that have had that fear mentality, right? I mean, if we send people out, you know, it's going to take from this ministry and that ministry. How do you overcome that mentality to really, you know, help guide people in the vision and how important it is to help other churches and to send outside of your church?
Yeah, that's a good question, Terry. We have seen over the last several years the opportunity for us to increase in sending and the ability to send more people. And a couple of ways that I think that that has kind of taken root in the heart of our people and really overcome that fear, you know, of what might happen or what might change is that we're able to celebrate what God is doing in our sister churches, that they're able to, you know, tangibly see evidence of lives being transformed because we are willing to, you know, send some of our best people or help financially support them to encourage and coach the pastor, you know. So our people start seeing that, hey, it's bigger than the ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Youngsville. Like, it really is, as Dave said, we're focused on the kingdom of God. Our pastor's preaching through Acts right now. And so every week there is just a strong call to, hey, what is your role in God's mission? And are you willing to sacrifice comfort and sacrifice your desires to see the gospel spread and to see churches started and churches strengthened? And so we are regularly, that's application out of the text of scripture, and then we're celebrating what we see them do. And then I think third, the other thing that we've done is that we've brought these pastors that we're working with here and had them share their stories and share testimonies, and our people are able to see, wow, they're, you know, the God's doing a work in their church as well. And so anything that we can do to highlight what God is doing just outside of these walls is what we try to focus on.
Amen. Can I just interrupt you right there? And just, I want to commend Faith Baptist for the ministry that we've even seen them do down in our area. You know, we had a struggling church in our area, got down about 6 members, and they decided to give their building, their assets to us. And we needed a pastor. And we called Faith and said, hey, guys, can we take one of your staff members who's doing great work at your church? And instead of grumbling and saying, well, no, this brother has high leadership potential, we could see him, you know, leading our church for a number of years, they said, yes, go. And they came freely and supported that work. So now that church that was replanted in 21 now has 90 people every week that's hearing the gospel. You know, this past week had 3 people move from death to life, like visibly, publicly through baptism. You know, so like those are the kind of things that Faith Baptist Church and other churches like Faith that we all want to be about. Okay, this is going to hurt us. We're going to sacrifice something. But it is always good when we lay things down and we give for Jesus and for Jesus' sake, because we know that no one can outgive God, right? God is the giver of all good gifts. And when we give, yes, it will hurt. And our church may be different because the gifts that we give, but yet we're going to be blessed from it. So, yeah. So anyway, that story that we worked on, Ben, right, 4 or 5 years ago is still bearing fruit today, right? And it wasn't a, you know, easy process. There were some bumps along the way, but by God's grace, the Lord continues to build his church.
I think I would just say, you know, that was a scary thing for us as a staff. That was one of the first times that we really took a step of sending a staff member that we weren't really wanting to send yet, but we said, okay, Lord, we're going to trust you with this and see that happen. And because of that, because of our pastor and our elders' willingness to do those type of hard things, now we're seeing the fruit here where our members are saying, we need to do hard things too. And so earlier this year, we had 7 families come to us and say, hey, could we be a part of strengthening a church in our area? We're driving 35, 40 minutes to church. Is there any way that we could identify a church that we might be able to be a part of? And so that wasn't on our radar, but we were willing to just trust the Lord and say, he's put it in these families' heart. We need to identify a church that we can partner with and begin to send them there. And so to answer your question, Terry, the way that we've seen it just multiply in our church is really, at the end of the day, we're trusting the Lord with our people in the open hand and just saying, God, it's all yours. How would you have us use it?
Amen. Amen. It's crazy. Both of you guys know the statistics. We know, you know, have read the books. We've seen it personally that literally churches like that, sending churches that have open hands, actually God does multiply. He brings you more people to send out and more people. You know, it's not part of our fear-based, you know, our DNA, it's not a part of our brokenness where we think that way, but God really does want to work and move through people and churches if we allow him to. And it's pretty amazing to see that. I do want to shift to the nuts and bolts that once you guys send out, though, for churches, because y'all have a little bit, Dave, Ben, you both have had some experience with us now. You've done a few of these. And so you start talking about strategies and some of the hiccups and different things. For churches that are healthier churches that are wanting to get involved in this or have just got involved in this, why is it so key from what you've seen that a healthier church with healthy DNA comes alongside a struggling church versus just the state convention. Guys, I love what I do. I love what we do. I love setting that stuff up. But we know it's not the state convention that revitalizes and replants churches. It's healthy churches that do that. Why is it so important to bring a healthy church alongside a struggling church in the revitalization, replanting process, any of these things? Dave, I'll start with you.
That's a great question. One, I think that it is God's plan for the church to strengthen the church, right? We've seen that already laid out in the Testament and in the book of Acts. Churches that are struggling are often suspicious of outside help, right? Because they've been hurt, they've been wounded in a number of different ways. People have come and maybe tried to take an advantage of them. They want their facility or something. You know, they've heard all these stories. So there's really this protection. They're trying to protect themselves. When a church comes alongside, and listen, we're not in it for ourselves. We're not trying to create another version of our church. We're trying to help you. We're giving you a pastor and give you money to give you people. You know, it's so surprising when I go to a church and says, listen, we want to send you a pastor. We want to send you people and we want to send you money. And they go, but what's the catch? There is no catch. We want to send you a pastor. We want to send you people and we want to send you money because we want your church to thrive again. And again, it's amazing when you see that happen, but they're still skeptical, even when you're trying to give all that. The other thing I think is really important is that churches struggle for a reason. You know, sometimes they struggle because they're insular. Sometimes they struggle because they don't have love for the lost. I mean, Ben did a great job maybe highlighting Revelation 2 and 3. There's different struggles in each one of those churches. And I think that you do need a new healthy culture. So if a church that's healthy, that is a church that preaches the gospel, that's loving one another, that has a heart for the nations, well, people need to see that culture in order to catch that culture. And if you're sending people with that culture, with a healthy mindset, with a healthy, you know, maturity to a church that's struggling, they're going to bring that church up, right? Not as much being brought down, but they're going to help bring that church up. So I think churches that are, you know, 150 to 300 that may not have the whole entire budget to fund a church plant or come alongside and take over the pastor of a salary or debt of a church that's struggling, but they can provide, you know, $4,000 to $5,000. They can have a love offering and maybe do a couple $1,000s to help support a pastor's salary, or maybe send one family, maybe three or four churches send a family apiece to help strengthen a church. So I do think that there's just tremendous ways that the church can come alongside those struggling churches to help give them a vision for what could be. And I think because the churches might be less skeptical, right, and more willing to trust another church that doesn't really have anything invested, because we're actually going to suffer from it, we're going to be losing people and money and dollars, people tend to believe us more.
Ben, same question you just did. You know, the bulk of your dissertation on this, you know, struggling churches, some of the issues they have and some things that are going on. Why is it so important for a healthier church to come alongside of them?
Man, I think of it as kind of like going to a personal trainer. I go to a personal trainer because I don't go to a personal trainer. But if I were needing a personal trainer and going to a personal trainer, I'm doing that because I don't have the ability in myself or the discipline in myself to do the right behaviors and the right habits. Maybe I've built years and years of bad habits and years of things that have hindered my health, my physical health. And so I need a coach. I need an outside source that can say, hey, here's some changes that you can make, and small incremental changes. Some of them may be more drastic, but here's some things that you can make that can help you get back into physical health. And I think a lot of the same is in with churches, is that churches are generally struggling because there's been a prolonged season maybe of, you know, bad habits that have been formed or some poor decisions that have been made or poor leaders that didn't lead well, you know. And so they've been kind of focused on those things, and they need some outside eyes that can help them identify the issues and help them identify the problems. And so when a healthy church, like Dave just mentioned, is willing to say, hey, we have somebody who can preach, we're willing to send people, we're even willing to give our money. When a healthy church is willing to come alongside and just say, we genuinely care about your health as a church, because if you're healthy, that means this area is being impacted by the gospel. And we're going to help you think through some things that maybe you guys haven't thought through in a while, like a personal trainer, like a coach, that are just some habits and behaviors that are honoring to the Lord that can help spread health across the body of the church, and then see a healthy gospel outposts there in that church there.
I was doing some counseling with a church that was struggling, and I just asked a bunch of questions of their leadership, and just kind of learned, okay, what's happening in this church? And then I went back to the pastor and said, hey, I just want you to know that this is what your people are thinking. Did you know that they're struggling with these things? And he's just like, well, I just didn't see it. You know, I didn't know that that was one of the struggles. You know, I think what Ben said, I think is really key. It's you're trying to have someone who's trained, who might see things uniquely or might see things slightly different to help give you eyesight and wisdom to be able to see it. You know, and I think that the book of Proverbs says is that the righteous heed rebukes and heed correction. So if we want to be a righteous people, we should listen to when people correct us and not be so defensive. And I think we are defensive. We naturally have pride in our heart. We don't want to look at our church and look at our work and say, man, my church is not doing what it wants to be doing. No one wants that. People want the church to thrive.
That's good.
But when we identify weaknesses, and this is actually one of the keys to stay a healthy church, because we're always in these life cycles, right? Is to notice, okay, where are areas in our gospel culture that are not strong? You know, we're a healthy church, but we're not a perfect church. We have issues every single day that we're trying to address.
Yep.
But I think we've developed an ear to listen to our members, listen to our struggles so that we can address those. And I think that's some of the challenge in these churches is that they maybe there's a relational conflict and then they weren't able to hear one another. So then their suspicion grows and then people either they drift from each other. And then they stop bringing people because they don't want people to be part of a community that has contention and conflict. So again, you know, lots of different reasons, but a healthy church can come alongside and speak into that and help them grow.
Yeah, I think lack of health can be contagious and health can be contagious, right? And so if a healthy church is walking alongside a struggling church, there's an appeal to the health, not to the church and what they're doing, but just to the, wow, there's a healthy thing happening here. And so, so to be able then to just kind of pull the curtains back and say, hey, have you guys thought about some healthy practices that might help your church flourish as well?
Our final question here. Is that the biggest struggle for you when you go to one of these churches? Dave, you even said, I mean, literally, you're saying we're bringing all these resources because we want Jesus to be glorified. The name on the front of the jersey is bigger than the name of the back of the jersey. We care about your church. We care about the Lord. We're willing to give all these things, extra time, all that stuff, to help you. And then for several reasons, but let's just pinpoint one of the main ones, right, Ben, is that, you know, they don't want change. You know, we're all in our middle years. I'll just leave it at that. You know, we'll leave it in the middle section. I just had another birthday, so I'm getting more middle. The older I get, the less I like change, right? The more I like my rhythms, the more I like to do things the way I want to do them. And so to literally go and to get a personal trainer, I would never want to do, right, in many ways, parts of me. Although I agree with Dave, there's other parts of me that definitely wants the trainer. Is that the biggest struggle, that these churches really don't want change? They don't want to put the work or the effort in. And so you're going to help them. You're going to provide the resources. You're going to help them with health. And then they flat out just turn it down. They don't want to do things differently. They want to do the same way they've always done it. Is that y'all's biggest struggle, or have you found different struggles? What's it been like for you guys as you encounter these churches, these struggling churches?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely one of the biggest struggles is resistance to change. But I would say oftentimes that resistance to change is grounded in something else. It's not just that they're trying to be obstinate and stubborn, hard-hearted. It's usually there's some sort of maybe emotional experience behind the resistance to change. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's, you know, loss of control, whatever the case may be. So I think it's really important to kind of walk with those churches to help them identify the root of it.
That's
to
good.
Say, what is the hesitation here? What is the reason that this is met with opposition? You know, is taking the, you know, plaques out of the worship center, is it really about that? Or is it about who gave those, you know, 10 years ago, and that they're afraid that their memory is not going to be remembered? And so I think that's probably the hardest thing, is just the relational work that it takes to really invest in a church, to say we genuinely want your benefit and your well-being. And that means that we're going to have a lot of conversation and a lot of time and a lot of interaction, just hearing your heart, hearing the history of the church, reassuring that, man, we're not trying to erase what God has done in the past. We're trying to build on that foundation. And so probably the biggest challenge is honestly just the relational side of it, that it just takes a lot of work to talk to people in these churches.
Yeah. And from your side, Ben, you have to be a very patient person, right? You have to be a patient group, you know, it can't be a, hey, you know, when you're reporting back to the elders or whoever it is, it's not, this is not going to be an overnight process. The patience.
That's right.
Dave, how about you guys? What's been the biggest struggle?
That's a good question. I do think that's a legitimate one. People don't want to change. People don't want the help, you know? So we have lots of success stories, but we have lots of other stories that never got off the ground. They never were even able to be a success story because people shut the door before we even opened it. So again, this is one I think that we want to just be in prayer and ask the Holy Spirit to lead us, because, you know, Paul wanted to go to Asia and the Holy Spirit said, no, right? You will not go to Asia. We don't know why. It was a voice or just circumstances, but we know the Holy Spirit, you know, Acts 16. And then, you know, they had a dream and the man from Macedonia said, come here and help us. And then, you know, Paul and the men who were with him got together. Yeah, we think God wants us to do this. And they went that direction. Listen, there's so many things that can happen in terms of what God is doing. We had a young man who wanted to go down to Charleston, but he could also be down here in Fort Mill. We tried to push him in Charleston. It just didn't happen. And then we just started praying one day, and there's like, oh, there's a church that pastor wanted to retire and doesn't know who can be the next pastor. So we set a meeting with him. They met, hit it off, and now the guy's been pastoring there for about 9 months. You know, so again, like, what does the Holy Spirit want to do? So the greatest struggle, honestly, is I don't think it's, I think I'd probably just say the same thing with Ben. It just takes a lot of time and a lot of effort. I do think that some of the greatest struggle is my own pride, is my own, like, I don't want to give away my people sometimes, and I want to maybe have more control in areas. I mean, you're working with people and they want control. You want control. You're trying to navigate these waters. And sometimes that's a challenge, but you really said, okay, Lord, this is your church. And I'm going to hand things over freely to you and let you move. Let me pray. So my greatest personal struggle is just saying goodbye to people that you love. You know, I mean, when you have people in your church that you disciple, that you raised, maybe even help them come to faith, and then they leave your church to go to another one, that's hard because you love them. And they're part of, like, you know, Paul with his elders in Acts 20 on the shore weeping with one another, hands around the neck. Like, that's a joyful, tearful goodbye. So, you know, those are the hardest ones for me, right? To know that, like, this couple that I help lead to the Lord and help provide their spouse and did their wedding, I'm not going to be the pastor who holds their baby for the first time. You know, that's a hard thing. I know it's great that they're being cared for and they're being shepherded, but just personally, that's probably the hardest struggle for me. We don't usually, when churches don't want to work with us, we say, that's okay. That's fine. We'll just keep on moving to the next board. We're always having a heart and disposition ready to help. But so we don't tend to work with churches who don't want help. We offer it freely. But we don't get discouraged when they say no, because we have another church that will take the help that we offer. And that's going to be where God wants it to be. So just understanding the Holy Spirit's going to open and close doors as he sees fit.
Amen. Amen. Good word, Dave. The other side of that, final question. For pastors or churches, healthier churches listening today, what's been the greatest joy? How would you encourage them to get more involved, to get involved? What's the greatest joy, and how would you encourage them?
I'll just take that. There is no greater joy to know that the children of God are walking in the truth. And, you know, my own revitalization, remember preaching one Sunday night, Miss Jean came up to me and just said, Pastor, thank you for preaching the word. She was just hungry for the word. Right? She wasn't ornery. She wasn't like a bad person. She wasn't like, you know, insular. She wasn't one who was having all this conflict. She was just a saint who was faithful to her church that missed hearing the preached word of God. And there's a lot of Miss Jeans out there in lots of churches. So when I go to Pioneer Church, when I go to Grace Chapel, when I go to Glen Rock, when I go to Stony Fork, and I talk to their members, I hear the same thing, right? I see, like, they're so happy to be at a church that preaches the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's one of my greatest rewards, is knowing that the children of God are walking in the truth. The second thing is, for us, is when we are working with these men, this just happens, right? So we're in this process. We've been raising these young men and trying to help them become pastors, giving a heart for God's people, give them the ministerial skills they're going to need to be a good pastor. And then we're starting to, you know, we pray together. We're praying for this church. And there's just something that happens in these men's hearts where their heart changes from, hey, I really just want to preach the gospel to these people. and their heart tends to mold around these churches, and they start to love the jeans. They tend to love the Tommies. Like, they just, their hearts just, I love these people, these odd, like, unique, sometimes ornery people. I love them because God has given me a heart to shepherd them. So it's happened probably 4 or 5 times when I've been in my office after a time of prayer and just able to see these brothers having a heart. And then I would just know they're shepherds. They're ready to shepherd a flock. And then to see that kind of happen in the consecutive years, it's just a real sweet thing. So encourage all churches to do it.
Amen. Amen. Pastor Ben, same question. Greatest joy y'all have experienced.
Yeah, I think the greatest joy in investing in struggling churches is the same as a pastor has for individual members. When you see individual members get it and get excited and grow in their faith as a pastor, that's the greatest thing you can experience.
Amen.
And it's the same in this conversation. When you're investing in and trying to help another church to experience health, when they start to see that, when they start to see glimpses of help, like Dave was saying, they're hearing the word preached and they're going out into their community for the first time and who knows how long, and they're seeing people baptized, like, it's just unbelievable. You know, and it's just a reminder that you are a part of the work that God is a part of, because God is the one who is building his church. Jesus is making all things new. And he's in the business of raising the dead. And so the opportunity to be on the side with Jesus and to be used as the Lord's vessel to see health come about in the body of Christ is just in a wonderful place.
It is amazing to see God's kingdom grow, Ben. Yeah. It's just amazing to see how, Well, guys, thank y'all so much today for being on. I'm so excited to be on mission together with you guys. Thank y'all again for being here today.
Thanks for having me, Terry. It's been a lot of fun.
It's an honor. Praying for good fruit from this conversation and for the conference.
Amen. We would like to invite you, if you're a part of a healthier church or if you're maybe one of our denominational partners, we'd love to invite you to the Reconstruct Conference, May 7th at Ben's Church, Faith in Youngsville, North Carolina. You'll get to hear great stories of God's movement for his kingdom and current strategies that are working as we partner healthy and struggling churches together in processes like church fostering, replanting, adoption. You can learn all of this and learn more about the conference as you access ncbaptist.org/reconstruct. NC Baptist, you can listen to more NC Baptist podcasts just like this one at ncbaptist.org/podcast. Thank you again for tuning in.
Thank you for joining us today. Because of your generosity to NC Baptist, this podcast, along with other helpful resources, are made available for you. Learn more by visiting ncbaptist.org/give.